I'm reading from Colossians chapter 3. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Thanks be to God.
Good morning. Buenos dias.
Good morning in Spanish.
Good morning in Spanish. Yeah. It's a real pleasure to be with you all on this Sunday morning, correct? We've had a bit of a whirlwind leaving, obviously, Peru, and we're still acclimatizing to the weather. It gets so dark here, doesn't it, in the evenings? Well, probably not for you, but for us, the sun sets pretty much 6:30, and it doesn't change. So I remember our first night, my children were like, "Daddy, is it time for bed?" "No, it's 3 o'clock. But I just want to give thanks on behalf of BMS World Mission, who we are part of. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your financial contributions. Thank you for your heart for the mission. Thank you for partnering with us. I don't know how God spoke or directed you as a church to do that. I want to just thank you for your partnership in the gospel. Thank you, Don, for your communication with us, reaching out to us. Thank you to John and Sandy.
Sally,
my apologies, for your wonderful hospitality. If you want a good breakfast, go to that place. I'm telling you.
Very good cook.
And a lovely warm church and the warm welcome that we have received so far. So, I'm Dave. I'm Dave, I'm not David. I have a brother called David, that's another story. I was a former Baptist minister in Southeast London, in Broccoli. I trained at Spurgeon's College. Before that, I had a real job, worked in IT. In 2009, I studied and then became a Baptist minister in London. Michelle, please, share some words.
Thank you so much for having us. It's a pleasure to be here and meet you all. This is our first time in Chad, and it's lovely, beautiful, very, very nice. So it's so good to be here, and we're so grateful to God for our journey and being able to meet with all of you. As Dave said, we used to live in London. I'm originally from Nigeria, moved to the UK when I was 19, and lived here, met my husband in church, and had our kids, and God called us to Peru. I was a student at Kingston University studying business, and suddenly felt really disillusioned about it all. What's the whole point? And it was at that time that God called me into his kingdom to become a Christian. When I became a Christian, I felt really led to serve young people. So I became a youth minister, studied and became a youth minister, served in South London. And I went for a gap year to America, and whilst I was there with a campus ministry, I just felt called to, I had a picture, a vision of somebody calling me to come and help. Come and help us, come and help us. And these were people who did not look like me, looked very different to me, so a different ethnicity. I looked in the Bible and saw Paul having been called to Macedonia, somebody calling him and saying, come and help us. So I felt that God was calling me into overseas missions. I shared that with my husband, and he said, okay, we'll do overseas missions one day. I don't know when or how. But then, whilst he was serving as a Baptist minister in South London, they had a time of prayer and fasting as leaders.
Yeah, so I'll just share about that.
And God spoke to
him. Can you hear me? So this is quite a significant time of the year for me, because this is where another call was resonated in my heart. It was January 2016. We met as leaders, praying,
seeking the Lord for 2016, for that year. And we shared something of what we felt God was saying as leaders with the church and the members meeting. And there were certain things that came forward in that. But in the middle of that, I sensed the Lord speaking to me from Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, which you wonderful theologians will know that's the call of Abram. And in that, as I read it, I knew that was a time for me to leave the pastoral ministry locally and be involved in a place where God would show me. And at that time, I didn't know what that was. So this was part of my second sort of call. First one was in 2009 when I gave up my job and became a student minister in a church called Westbourne Park Baptist Church in Paddington. And that was very interesting as well, because when I left that work, a friend of mine gave me a Paddington bear. Which, because I'm going to be a minister in Paddington, I didn't realize that the second call was going to take... You kind of know where this is going, don't you? Because it's wonderful that God speaks to us through Scripture, isn't it? I mean, it's wonderful, isn't it? No, it wasn't. It was so disturbing. It was so...
Disruptive
to us. How old were our children then? 2016.
Five.
Jonathan was five.
Yeah, five, three, and two.
Yeah, so I had a five-year-old, three-year-old, a two-year-old.
And
January 2016, God significantly spoke to us about moving on into overseas mission. I mean, that's not the time you want to take it. But God. So in that wrestling, personally, I thought I'd speak to my wife, hoping that she would have some sense and saying that was just maybe some pizza, I don't know. Anyway, she said, yes, this is it, let's go. So let's speak to the parents, because my mother was 10 minutes away and she was so kind in helping us out with young children. She wasn't overjoyed. Okay, the church wasn't overjoyed. Well, some were overjoyed and sensed it was the Lord's call. And if you've ever been in church, which you are, you'll know that. Some are for and some are not. So it was a time of challenge and a time of test. Is this really what God wants us to do? But in that, as we submitted ourselves to BMS and that journey, Iquitos came out. Do you want to just share a little bit about that?
Well, we didn't know anything about Iquitos. We didn't know much. I mean, they did say, they gave us options. Pakistan was an option, Albania was an option, and Iquitos was an option. And we knew that we couldn't survive a cold climate, so Albania was out because of the, just too cold. So we said, let's go to South America, let's go to Iquitos. And Iquitos is a concrete city in the middle of the Amazon jungle. So the city itself is very built up and chaotic and overcrowded, as lots of cities are. And we moved there after 8 months of language training, because they speak Spanish in Peru and we had no Spanish. So we had to learn a new language in 8 months, and then we moved to the jungle. Now, I come from Lagos, and Iquitos is like Lagos. So there is very hot, lots of friendly people, poor people, people who are rich in love, so much love. And we made friends there, we struggled there, we served there.
We did the pandemic there.
COVID,
we
had COVID
there.
And
we served some beautiful, in some wonderful Baptist churches. There were nine churches which we kind of came alongside and supported the leaders.
Yeah.
Our real role there was to equip the saints for work, for ministry. So whether that be pastors who are struggling, whether that be local leaders, whether that be local missionaries who were doing stuff in the Peruvian Amazon. Mm-hmm. So that was our main role. And then we had a Bible training center, which was running, and we were looking at ways to make it more sustainable. We had 5 years to complete that role. Now, some of it we completed, praise God, and some of it was completed on us. And I'm sure you're aware that anytime you go to think you're going to change the world, God begins to change you.
So there are a lot of things that we have been shaped and changed by life in Latin America. One of the things is that we don't wear watches anymore. I mean, time is irrelevant.
Yeah.
Time in this country is very important, like it's 11 minutes. It's 5 minutes past 11.
Yeah, yeah.
In Latin America, time is not important.
Yeah.
Which was a real frustration because I have a European lens. Turning up at church at 9:30 in the morning, and there's nobody there, apart from the missionaries. And you're just so frustrated because you want to know what's going to happen next. So that was something you may think, well, that's not a big deal. The other thing, which was a real challenge for us, is not understanding the sermon at all.
Yeah.
Because they're speaking Spanish, and they're speaking a different type of Spanish to what we learnt. It was really frustrating not being able to hear God's word.
Yeah.
Not being able to be fed by God's word. After the first 2 weeks, it's very exotic, and then after a while, it begins to affect your spirituality. Let's talk about the children.
Well, the children, because of their age, I think that was the winning factor. Because we moved and they were young, it was a lot easier for them to adjust, to learn the language, to make friends. And so they adapted a lot quicker than we did. We had to deal with bugs and tummy aches and all of that. So all of that was on us. But the kids thrived. They'd play in the street. They'd get muddy, come in with insects. And they had fun. They had a great time there. And so we were in Iquitos for 5 years. And in that 5 years, we were able to find local resources and local leadership for the project, so that we could leave. The idea, it was to do ourselves out of a job. So thanks be to God, we were able to find a school that started in our Bible school. And the primary school, which is private, paid us rent, and the rent supports the ministry. And so we have a team of pastors that go out and teach. Sometimes we'll have people have conferences at the Bible school in Nauta. And we left after 5 years. So we said goodbye to our friends.
These are our neighbors, actually.
Our neighbors. We said goodbye to them. And we moved to a place called Trujillo. So this was in January this year. Trujillo is on the coast. So we moved from the jungle to the coast. And we're there now. We've been there since January.
Right, yeah. Now, that's as the crow flies. Okay, so I'm just going to just say
the
that.
The journey is not like that.
That is not like that. I'll explain the journey in 2 minutes to you. You take a plane from where that red dot is inland, and then you fly to Lima, which is to the bottom of the PowerPoint, right at the bottom. Has this got a red dot on it? Uh-huh. So Lima is down there. Yeah? So we fly down there to come up here. That's about 3 hours down here to the coast, then a 1 hour plane ride. However, in January, there was a time of political unrest, just when we were about to move. So the question is, should we move or not? Now, that's how we felt. I mean, we're moving everything. We're not coming back. We decided to move. So we went to Lima. And then we were supposed to go to a Baptist assembly conference, which was in Piura. So we moved down here to move up there. So we get to Piura, the conference is cancelled. I mean, everyone's panicking. My family's panicking. But we're safe. We're secure. But the conference is over. So we stay there for 2 weeks with some of our team, because we were all there, looking to represent BMS. Then we had to move to Trujillo. So Michelle and the children moved by plane. Thank God they made it. I had to move our car, which was in Iquitos, which was being transported 4 days by boat and then up and down the mountains to Lima. So I flew back to Lima, picked up the car, and drove the car 10 hours from Lima down to the south, up to Trujillo, with a friend of mine. God is faithful. I'm not going to say it was easy, but God is really our protector, and he is our shield, and he is our ever-present help in a time of trouble. So we made it. That's just a little bit about how Latin American life is. It's not simple Google Maps like we're going to do going back to Maidstone. So that was the move. Now, the move was quite an emotional time for us. Do you want to just share about that? About this entanglement of family? And
yeah, because obviously we had been in Iquitos for a long time. We had friends. And it's always the people that you miss the most, the people that are hard to walk away from. Obviously, we keep in touch with them on Facebook and through social media, but still, that was the hardest part. It was leaving our friends, other missionaries as well, and local people.
Especially for our children. You might want to pray for Jonathan, my eldest. He's 13 years old.
Found it the hardest.
And if you've got grandchildren at that age, you'll know that. You know, they're just making good friends with schooling.
Yeah.
So there is that lament sometimes with him. He'll speak about my friends in the neighbourhood and school. Yeah. So please remember Jonathan. The other two, not so much.
It's the age, yeah.
It's the age.
Once they get older, it's harder. It's harder for the change, yeah.
And this year, they've managed to get into a good school.
Mm.
Because before then, they were 3 years in homeschooling due to the pandemic.
Yeah.
And we're now seeing them flourish
in school.
If you read any of the prayer letters, you'll know that we've had some struggles in that, integrating them back into school life.
Yeah, yeah.
But we praise God. He is indeed faithful and true.
Amen. Amen.
Let's just share about teaching. So we're now in Trujillo, a more affluent city. Things work. And you would think, well, that's a great place for us. On one hand, it was. On another hand, it was a tremendous culture shock. We're used to wearing very relaxed clothing. Now we're having to wear more prestigious clothing. So for my children, trying to get them to wear trousers, trying to get them to wear formal clothing was a real challenge. Just to put shoes on was a challenge. So on that side, the language, the Spanish language, is a little more higher quality of language. So we had to up our game in our Spanish. We now teach in a Bible seminary, probably one of the best Bible seminaries in the Baptist Convention there. So that's a challenge as well. Speaking in Spanish, we don't speak in English. We both teach. So Michelle was teaching on...
cults.
Yeah. Do you want to share about that just a bit?
Yeah. Basically sharing with the students about the difference between the different cults and the difference in doctrine. How do we discern what is truth and what is error? Who is the real Jesus? Is it what the Jehovah's Witnesses say or the Mormons say? No, it's a different Jesus. Why? Why? How? And teaching them how to engage with others who are in cults and to pray for them to come out of cults because God does not want them there. Which was really good, good semester.
Mm. And I was sharing on ministerial ethics, so working with ministers and soon to be missionaries, local Peruvian missionaries, looking at the kind of the inner journey of your life. I mean, many of us are gifted. We can preach, we can teach, we can minister, and we're wonderful at it. But what I was looking at is more the internal life, the inner spirituality, and the rhythms, trying to alleviate some of the crisis that we see in ministry. So that's what we did before we left. We saw some graduations and some wonderful stuff that happened. So that's one of the things we do. Another area of ministry is more of a national ministry representing BMS, and that could be involved in going to another part of the country and speaking in theological conferences, which is what I do most of the time. Michelle does some teaching to women and children. You want to talk about that one particular there?
Yes, this was a trip that I made over the summer to an indigenous tribal community called the Awahun. Twice a year, there's a group of people that go from our seminary to teach church leaders in these remote communities. Some of them walk 4 days to get to this village, and we're there to teach them. This time we taught on...
systematic theology, wasn't it?
How do we know that there is a God? How do we know? Obviously through creation and through the inner witness. And so I was able to teach a little bit about that. Everyone had a different topic, and we went as a team. They just came back from another trip, and David's going to go next summer.
Yeah. So the purpose of this is to reach indigenous communities for the gospel. And the long-term goal is for the Bible seminary in Trujillo to have a hub in the Awahoon community. So we're training pastors who speak the Awahoon language. They have their own Bible. Another prayer point is their Bible's not completed yet. So it was a bit of a challenge for some of the teachers. They were saying, turn to a particular passage of the Bible, and it's not in their Bible yet. So, and also some of the words, there's no language for them. So there was a particular misericordia.
Mercy. How do you describe mercy? Is it love? No. Is it grace? No. So I guess it's three examples.
Yeah.
Mercy. Not getting the punishment that you deserve, and giving examples, but there's no word for that.
So a prayer point there could be, we want that translation to be completed for the whole of the Bible. Thank God we have it in English, and we have it in so many different translations. But for the Awahoon community, the Bible is not quite complete. But it's a privilege to journey with them through that. My little small people. Okay. That's Ruth. Ruth is 10 years old. That's Jonathan, 13. And this is Phoebe. This is just outside school, isn't it? And they've been able to put up with us moving them around everywhere. They're so resilient. We're so grateful that they actually go to school now, and they are having a great education, and also it gives us the freedom to be able to do work. But any prayer points for them, would you say?
Just to continue to make good friends in school and to thrive there,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm. And again, you may have some questions about the children. We can speak about that during the tea and coffee. So that's generally kind of what we've been doing. So in conclusion, we're in Iquitos, we finished our work there, but we are still connected. So I'm still the director of the Bible Seminary there, but the local people continue the work. God willing, we will be going back to Iquitos in April, I believe. When is Easter?
March, April.
So we're going to go back during Easter time just to see how things are going. But the idea was always to pass it on to the locals and enable them to bring it into the way that they wanted to be. Now in Trujillo, still finding our feet, but we have found God who has been faithful, sustained us.
Amen.
Through some stuff. But he's good, isn't he?
Oh, yes.
So that's just a little bit of the presentation. And I'd love the privilege to just share a little bit of God's word with you. But it might be good for us to just have a pause, I don't know. Maybe a song, or I don't know. Have we got any more songs? Are we done?
It's okay,
we don't have to have another song.
Okay.
Don't worry, well, I'll just continue. Yeah, I'll just continue. So you...
The passage again, or...?
No. We'll just cry. Actually, please do, yeah, read.
Together. Since then you have been raised with Christ. Set your heart on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory.
Why don't we just prepare our hearts to hear God's word?
Loving Father, thank you for this moment. Thank you for you are Christ with us, the hope of glory. Christ in us, the hope of glory. Christ with us. This day, this moment, we want to give you thanks for your living word. We thank you for the privilege that we are able to have your word. We're able to read it. We thank you because of the relationship that we have with you, Father, because of the death, burial, and resurrection and ascension of Jesus Christ, that we can have a relationship with you. That as we have this relationship with you, you relate to us through your word by your spirit. We are here because we need you. We ask that by the inspiration of God the Holy Spirit, you'll speak to our hearts. You'll encourage us. You'll challenge us. You'll empower us as we think about 2023 and as we think about 2024. Father, we ask that you'll give us your strategy, your kingdom strategy. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So you've heard a little bit about our story, and you know, as you hear someone's story, I'm sure you say, yeah, that reminds me of when I did this and that and the other. I'm sure that must have been resonating in your heart. And some of that must have been thoughts of excitement and joy and aspiration. And sometimes it may bring back times of sadness in your heart and loss, just as you're empathizing with us. And as you think about this year, as Don has already said, there have been times of highs, times of lows, and times of I don't know. If you're an optimist, you always see things wonderfully and you know, everything's going to be okay. You don't really want to be around a pessimist who's always thinking, you know, everything's going wrong all the time. I remember speaking to my principal at Bible College, and I asked him in the morning, how are you? He says, don't ever ask me how I am in the morning. I'll let you know how I am in the evening. So you can tell what kind of person he was. He wasn't the I am blessed and highly favored one. And why am I saying this? Because I, for me this year has been a time of great transition and excitement. And there's been great opportunities for me to serve the Lord. I have seen things that I've never seen in my life. But I've also seen things in my life that have been so challenging, I don't know what to do. And I'm thinking, maybe we should just call it a day. And we as believers live in this tension all the time. And what has really helped me is to realize we are to live in this tension all the time and expect to live in this tension all the time. Unfortunately, our society is trying to encourage us to escape from this tension. So we have what we call places of comfort. It could be, if you do this, this will make you happy. Or it could be, I am looking forward to my next holiday, because when I take my next holiday, then I will be happy and I will be refreshed. And there's nothing wrong with taking a holiday. But as believers, whether you go on holiday or whether you work 60 hours a week, that is not our place. Those things do not give us any joy whatsoever. And if you've been around long enough, you'll know that. If you go on holiday with three kids, you're the most stressed person there is. Take the grandchildren. My mother-in-law, she came over for Christmas, and she couldn't wait to go home. I'm just painting the picture of reality. So how do we find peace? How do we find a sense of purpose when we live with this tension? And this is something that I haven't got all the answers, but this is something that's been challenging me this year, and something living in a different country, you get a chance to see how people deal with it. So you've heard this phrase, keeping the main thing, haven't you? You know, kind of focusing perspective and all this kind of stuff. So this is where Michelle and I came to this passage of Scripture, which speaks about the since then. And if you've read the passage or you've read the letter of Colossae, you'll know that this is kind of a... So as a result of what I've been writing, since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above. And this picture here is me on the aeroplane, and I'm going over the Andean Mountains, and I'm just coming back from a theological conference in a place called Huancayo. Huancayo is in the mountains about 3,500 meters up. And I didn't want to go because I don't like altitude. When I go to a place where there's high altitude, I just get sick. So I did everything not to go. He emailed me, come and talk, come on. And eventually I decided to obey and I went. And as I went, I saw this beautiful mountains. And it reminded me of, you know what? There's so much stuff happening in ministry in Peru, so much change going on. And then I look over the pond when I look at BBC, because, you know, missionaries were always looking at what's happening in England, always looking at the BBC news page, what's the weather's like. Then I look at your politics, thinking, oh my word, what's going on there? Right, you're shaking your head. Then I look at even what's happening within the church world. And I think, boom! And then I work in a theological seminary. So the principal will ask me, so what's happening in Europe? Tell me. You know, what's happening in England? And you know, what's happening? I don't know. And with all of that going on, I was up there in the aeroplane, and I really sensed the Lord saying, are you keeping the main thing? Or are you trying to answer questions, bringing your views and opinions on things? You know, holding on to your security, keeping the main thing, for me was to look up. It's funny because I'm looking down there. But it's to look at him and to focus on him. It's a time of soul searching and reflection today, isn't it? One could argue. It's a time of looking back at our past. You could argue. In Peru, we have what's called Acción de Gracias, which is a famous service which happens in the evening, where every person's, all the people come as Christians, they come in and we give thanks and we sing songs and we thank God for the year. And right at the end, we have what's called a compromiso, which is a chance for every single member of the church to say, this is what I'm going to do for the Lord this year, individually and also as a member of the church. Because we're good Baptists, you know, we like to do things together. So it's individually we make a response, and also collectively, so it could be, I want to be involved in an area of ministry, maybe that I used to be involved in, but now I want to take it back up. Because maybe this year there's been some situations which is happening, but by the grace of God, I'm going to give it another go. So that's something that you see a lot in some of the Baptist churches in Peru. In the African spirituality, from where my wife is from, I'm part of the African spirituality even the last 22 years, what they do in the night is they'll have a big service, which is called a watch night service. In the African spirituality, the spiritual world and the secular world are not like how it is in European ways of thinking. It's not separate. We don't have the secular and the sacred. They are connected, a little bit like the Latin American perspectives of spirituality as well. So to be in church as you're in 2023, moving into 2024, is significantly important, because it's like being close to the Lord and also being close to the body of Christ. So you could argue that that's a good place to be if you're from that type of spirituality. So there's different ways that we could look at this particular time, this particular moment we're in. But I would argue that it's really important, whatever spirituality we're from, that we look to Jesus only and to Him alone. So just a couple of things I wanted to share with you. A little bit of the context. I'm sure there's wise people around here who will know this. The writer, Paul, is writing from a position of persecution. He's in prison. He's in a place in the surrounding of Turkey. And in this particular context of the readers, the churches there, there's a lot of error in the church, which is, you could argue, is the same today. There's so many divergent stories and narratives and languages going on and theologies and so not far off what we're dealing with today. Not just in the United Kingdom, but this is an international problem. And what is needed is somebody or a group of people to address the issue and to teach and to explain and to acknowledge and admonish and encourage the gathered community in a time of crisis. And thank God for this particular letter, which does just that for the church in Colossae. Some of the false teaching, worshipping of angels. That's one of the issues in that particular letter. Reminds me of the writer to the Hebrews, who's also dealing with that in the first couple of chapters. Worshipping of angels, all different types of spiritualities which are out there, which we all know today. I know some of us in the UK would say they don't exist, but they do. It's not just in deepest, darkest Peru that we see these types of spirituality. So we see that addressed in this particular letter. And the other thing is that there's this challenge that Paul's always having to deal with, being a Jew himself, but also a Greek, is dealing with the division between the Jewish laws and traditions and their identity nationalistically, the Jews and the Greeks. So he's trying to encourage them not to find their security in being a good Jew and my father's Abraham and the laws are for us and we're good kosher people, and having a real kind of disrespect for the Gentiles. So Paul is trying to encourage them to realize that their security is not in their identity, but is in the identity inside Christ Jesus. In Christ alone, we know that, and there's a song about that. There's some things here which I just wanted to help us as we think about looking to Christ today. Our religious lifestyle, we all know, doesn't get us anywhere. But let's reflect on our religious lifestyle. In Latin America, we have a religious way of doing things. And there is a tendency in our doing that we think that we are doing good for God. And in this particular letter, Paul really challenges people, especially the Jewish people, not to look at their history and their way of doing things as a way of finding and securing their salvation. We all know that it is by grace alone that we are saved. And we would all say amen to that. We'd all agree with that, wouldn't we? That's part of our orthodoxy. However, in practice, there is this, well, if I do these things, then God will like me more than he likes them. Now, you would say, and I would say, I would never do that. But it's, maybe it's a time for us to reflect on that. Because this is what Paul was saying to the Jews. You think you have your security in the things that you do and in the history that you have, and now you're looking down on the Gentiles. The do's and don'ts of themselves have no value in our security. Well, they do, because we should do the right thing, shouldn't we? But if our motivation of doing the right thing is because of behavioral modification, then that's just utter religion. But if our do's and don'ts are shaped because of our relationship and because of our love for him and our love for my sister, therefore I would respect my sister. And my action of respecting my sister is infused by the grace and the power of Almighty God. That's how the fruits of the spirits are born. And that is what this looking upward is. When I look at a situation that is happening, I get so frustrated, I get so angry, I get so bitter. And then I say, Lord, this is your church. You're the head. Help me to respond how you would respond. And when I use his help and I use his guidance and I respond in obedience to his word, then it, instead of it becoming a behavioral modification, it becomes an act of grace. And that's really the goal. Do we always get it right? But we get another chance this year by the grace of God. Amen? We do. Living for God has characteristics. John speaks about fruits of repentance. There's a lifestyle that should be seen, and there's manifestations that should be seen and demonstrated in the life of a believer. If there isn't a continual growth, if there isn't signs of hope, signs of grace, signs of change and transitions, we may want to ask ourselves, what are we doing with our lives? But when we see, if you've been around long enough, you'll know, you'll see growth in people's lives. You'll see that the characteristics that are seen in a believer who is loving for God, who has an upward, who has a perspective, who has an awe and a wonder and a reverence for him and him alone, we see the characteristics that are transformational. You see people say, you know what, I'm going to give up that lifestyle, and God is going to help me, and I'm going to make steps towards that. They'll fail, they'll fall, we all do. But the desire is to, Lord, I want to live for you live for you alone. So I want to encourage you, think about what God is challenging you to move forward to do. There's this language of resurrection we see in this particular passage here. In the couple of chapters, it speaks about us being buried and us being resurrected in Christ. And if you've been to a baptismal service, you'll know people talk about the identification of being buried and then being resurrected in Christ. And if you're a believer, you are risen and you are seated in heavenly places with him. And Paul speaks about this in so many different passages. So we are to live like the resurrected. Not in this kind of half full kind of, oh, everything's going to be lovely lifestyle. But we need to see ourselves as people who have been resurrected. Who are people that can be used by God. People who have significance and people who have importance. And what does that mean? Literally, it means that we can go out into the neighborhood and we can be the light of the world. Only we can. Because of what he has done inside of us. So one of the points I want to encourage you that maybe you're thinking, the whole world is falling apart. It's true. The whole world is falling apart. But God has left a remnant that's you and me. We're in Peru, by the grace of God, shaking our feet, doing it. I know God has called you here because you are here. My encouragement to you is go out and be his hands and feet. And maybe you signed up last year to do it. And maybe it's been tough. Like I've been just sharing a little bit how tough it's been for us. Can I encourage you to live like the resurrected Christ? Well, I don't think I can do that. You can't. But it is him inside of you that enables you to get up just one more day. If you read this passage, there's a word that says put to death. Put to death the old life. The verb here is necrostate. Necrostate, which literally means to make dead, to destroy, to put away the old life. We need to make a decision. Sometimes it's like, you know what? I've had enough of this thing in my life. That's it, today. I am not going to use my tongue in that way against my pastor. I'm not going to do it. I am not going to speak in that way against the Prime Minister. I'm not going to do it. The others can do it. I am not going to speak about my mother-in-law like that ever again. And you laugh because that's a mother-in-law joke. Yeah? I'm going to speak kindly about my grandchildren, even though they wind me up. Yes? This is what's going on. But we need to put away the old ways. I say this in humor because it's not easy. But for some of us, today may be the day when you just have to say, you know what? That thing has to go. I am going to cut that thing off. So I encourage you. He is here. He is inside of us. And he wants that thing cut off. You know why? Because when that thing is cut off, we are free. And then we're able to go and serve the living God. Well, I can't do it. I tried it the last time I did it. Yeah, I know. But we get another chance. Today is another chance. Let's be and serve. Not being. Let's just be. And then as he prompts us, we serve. Especially in this particular generation we're from. We're always just so busy. Ministry, ministry, preaching left, right, and center. Oh. We need to be and receive. In Jesus' ministry, we see him being with his Father. And then he'd go and do amazing things. This being. Being still and knowing. Being still and knowing. We have a Spanish word for know. There's the know of, yeah, I know, and then there's a know, I experienced it. We have to experience him. How can we talk about, how can we testify? How can we communicate if we haven't experienced his living word? Now, I experienced his living word when I gave my life to Jesus many years ago. But what about today? A fresh being. And then we go and serve. So there's this rhythm of and serving. And we do this all in the power of God, the Holy Spirit. Not in methodology, not in concepts, not in ideas. All of those are important. But guess what? If you're not doing it with God's Spirit, we're not going to get much done. We'll be tired again. We'll be worn out. Scripture says, come unto me, all those who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So our rest, our strength, our hope, our power comes from him. Look up. Look up. Look upward. Look into Christ. And look forward to the future. You know, for some people, I'll conclude here, the future is actually a terrible place to think about, because this year was terrible. Think about 2024. If it's anything like last year, this is the pessimist. Or maybe not just the pessimist, but maybe the one who was the optimist but now has turned into something like... It's a fearful place to be. Because maybe this year for you, it was a challenging year. Can I encourage you to look to him, the author and finisher? We are able to move forward. When we see ourselves seated with him, when we see ourselves in the right position, and we can't see any of those things unless we spend time with him and his word. So I encourage you, as we think about what 2024 may hold, to look up, to look.
Thank you so much, Dave and Michelle. Lovely, wonderful to meet you both. And thank you for the double act. It worked well. And we'll sing our final song. We haven't sung this one for a little while, I think. God sent his son, they called him Jesus. That life indeed is worth the living because he lives, because Jesus lives. Jesus is alive. And we can face the future of another year, whatever it holds. Lord, we've been challenged this morning. We've been made to think, help us to pray for these pointers, those people in Iquitos, in Tehillah, and the various people that are there, the people at these conference centres. And Lord, we thank you for those who go out to the field in that sense. And yet, Lord, we are called to this town of Chard and the surrounding area. Lord, help us to serve. Help us to go in the name of Christ. And we just pray now, Lord, that you will bless our fellowship together as we have tea and coffee, or later as we have some lunch together and we continue our fellowship with Dave and Michelle. We thank you for their honesty in sharing with us, and their children. Lord, we do think of them, and we pray for them, and help us, Lord, to continue to pray for them as they return to Iquitos in April. Lord, we thank you for your love, and now we'll just share the grace together. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all together. Amen. Amen.